Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get it. We're tracking down Jeff Sintel. We'll get him on here in just a moment. We'll be talking recruiting with him. Get the latest on everything there. DogNation.com. And we will roll right into our man, Jeff Sintel from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking a few minutes. How are you today?
Hey, man. Hey, Dave. I'm great, man. Hope everybody in Athenstown is doing great. Hey, the recruiting wheels kind of started to turn up again over the weekend, huh?
I tell you what. And I know. So tell me this. All right. So in the Beck situation, does it make it sweeter for Georgia fans because of the kind of the reaction to the loss that the Gator fans had? I mean, how do you quantify this this verbal commitment here?
Well, I guess it's probably a little bit of whatever makes Florida weaker kind of makes Georgia stronger. But it's very interesting because I think it gives some sort of – you know how everybody likes – how Georgia let's use a really cool southern phrase here. Georgia's been eating high on the hog when it comes to quarterbacks over the last couple of years. And it's that big boom in every class when you have a top three, top five quarterback. I think Beck kind of resets the situation there for Georgia. Georgia, again, has, you know, those ESPN future quarterback power rankings where Georgia now has a clear line of successor, maybe a line of a successor hierarchy, I guess, but beyond Jake Fromm. And, you know, Zwan Mathis and Stetson Bennett are very capable quarterbacks. I think Stetson would be the guy most likely to come in and finish out a game, or if the nature of a physical game like football means Fromm has to leave for a series or two. I think Bennett is very capable. We got to remember Zwan Mathis, although very talented and very skilled, very, very projectable with a high ceiling, he still was only like the number 12, 13, 14 quarterback in the country last year. But with Carson Beck, to kind of stay on point with your question, Carson Beck, man, he was a guy that, you know, I've been talking to a lot of guys that, you know, we kind of share notes about scouting on guys and what we see here, what we see there. And some other guys I'm talking to think that Carson Beck might eventually grab that fifth star in this class, might be the second best pure passer in the class. And to put things into perspective, Dave, last year, if Carson Beck was in the 2019 class as a quarterback with the same skill set he's already flashing right now, he might have been the number one or number two quarterback in the country. So really, it gives Georgia things to feel very proud about with the quarterback for 2021, 22, 2023, and beyond, because he is a very capable guy to add to the program.
David Johnston and Ross Kroll along with you. We're joined by Jeff Sintel from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Yeah, I think it's big there because this is what it is with quarterbacks. They just, you know, they're the golden boys. They get a lot of the headlines and a lot of the spotlight. But also, they're the ones that just simply have to commit early. That's the one where you can look at Georgia and, like, talented wide receivers can sit there and go, okay, that's my quarterback I'm going in with. And offensive linemen and running backs, they need to know who the general is. They need to know who the guy that's kind of the cornerstone of the class. And what's happening is a lot of schools are doing that at the same time. I think Beck started a really big run on quarterbacks. Georgia Tech just picked up a really good one the other day. West Virginia got one. A lot of these guys are starting to fall in line to kind of be cornerstones of classes. And you saw with Carson Beck, he was already recruiting for Georgia. Darnell Washington, the five-star tight end athlete out of Las Vegas, Nevada, he was recruiting him before he was even publicly committed to Georgia. And then I think on Tuesday afternoon, Carson Beck went out and followed Jermaine Burton, Arik Gilbert. I mean, he started following all the top targets in the Georgia 2020 class. He followed Roderick Jones, the five-star offensive tackle. So clearly, everybody wants that golden boy quarterback once they're committed to kind of play in that Pied Piper role for a program, and that's exactly what Carson Beck has done so far. He's going to be at G-Day already, we know that. Going to enroll early in January of 2020, we know that. So those are all things a quarterback does to really get immersed into the program as a future leader.
Does Beck seem like, and this may not be a fair question to ask as we've talked about this, who would be the next potential quarterback at Georgia that would be more than a one-year starter, like a two- or three-year guy? Does Beck kind of jump ahead of Mathis as far as that goes, or is that even a fair question to ask at this point?
No, but all we can look is at this point, because we're comparing Beck to where he is now, to maybe where Mathis was, you know, at the end of his junior season. And Mathis, I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but I think he was committed during his journey to maybe four other schools before he finally got to Georgia. I think everybody knows about the flip to Ohio State, but at one time he was committed to Iowa State. He was committed to Michigan State. With Beck, you just see a lot more polish. I mean, I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans that are leaning in right now very happy to hear that this is the reigning Mr. Florida for the state of football. Carson Beck played 8A. That's big boy, you know, V8 football in the state of Florida. And he threw 39 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He threw for 5 touchdowns and no interceptions in the state championship game. Again, it's funny how it works with Beck, because Beck was also at one time a really strong baseball prospect. He was actually committed to play baseball for Florida before any sort of football interest and football offers. And now when you got Beck, it's very interesting, too, because I have a lot of people on our site say they've read places where Florida was the dream school and then Georgia was the dream school. Well, you know, somebody wrote one time that you can't go home again, but you can't have two dream schools, because Carson Beck's dream school until he got to the sixth grade was those Florida Gators. But then when he got to middle school, and this is fortuitous, guys, his head coach of his middle school team was a Georgia fan. The offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach of his middle school team was a Georgia fan. I think the offensive line coach of his middle school team down there in Duval County was a Georgia fan. And lo and behold, he started becoming a Georgia fan. So that's how he can kind of cite, even though it sounds pretty awkward, that he had Florida and Georgia as his dream schools growing up.
Talking with Jeff Sintel from the AJC's DogNation.com. Now, this may be a dumb question. And believe me, I'm good at asking these. So with Beck being from Jacksonville, I don't know why, but it just seems like this Georgia-Florida game, you know, should it be played in Jacksonville every year? This, like, popped up again. It seems to just keep keep coming up from time to time. But it's certainly an interesting topic with Georgia fans, and I'm sure it is with Florida fans also. But with a guy like Beck, do you use that is a recruiting tool? It's like, hey, we're going to play in your hometown every year. You know, you're going to play against the Gators every year. Or does that kind of stuff come up as much on the recruiting trail as, you know, it does it or not? I mean, how would you like approach the answer to that question as far as what is the bigger deal with the game being in Jacksonville?
I think Dave, the biggest question with the game being in Jacksonville is simply money. Like, if you look at it, that game is always, it's a standout game in college football, like the Red River rivalry with Texas and Oklahoma. It's different because it's played at a neutral site away from both campuses. It's probably going to have the CBS 330 slot as long as that game is in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And the money trail is what really matters, because I think Georgia makes about $3 million off a home game. And so, like, if they did home and home with Florida, then they would make $3 million a year over a two-year period. Well, every time they go down to Jacksonville, they get about $3 million anyway. They get chartered air travel, where it seems like they have the same commute to Jacksonville as Florida does from, you know, nearby Gainesville. I think all those things matter, and I think everybody brings up that poker chip about, well, it costs Georgia a huge recruiting weekend. Well, let's be real, folks. Talk about eating high on the hog. I don't think Georgia's suffering in their recruiting department right now.
Yeah.
In terms of, I mean, you can't get you can only get the number one or number two class. That's all you can get. I think the television vehicle there of having that game on and having it being a big game is also a win for Georgia as well. And let's not forget that last story I shared about Beck. I think the fact that the Jacksonville Bulldog Club is so big and there's so many dog fans in Jacksonville, Florida, I think that kind of helps the fact that Carson Beck shows up in middle school football as a Florida fan, but then surrounded by all those dog people, as Mr. Munson used to call him, on his coaching staff down there in Jacksonville. And lo and behold, somebody turns the tide there, and he goes from He goes from Gator to Bulldog, kind of hanging out with a lot of Georgia fans. I think that game's meant to be special, and it should be special. And let's be clear, David. My opinion on this is if there was no such Spurrier-type run through that series that Florida had that then extended a little bit with Urban Meyer, like let's say Kirby Smart wins in that series the way Vince Dooley wins in that series, I don't think a lot of people are going to be barking about moving that game out of Jacksonville.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And you know, Florida loses, you know, they every other year they lose a recruiting home weekend too, so it's not like it's just Georgia. I've had people, and we finally got an answer to this question about, all right, now Tech moving one of these marquee games over to the Benz, you know, once a year for the next 5 years or whatever it is. They still can host recruits because of the distance to campus or something like that. So I didn't know, like, you know, as far as that goes with these neutral sites. So I don't know that Tech would have wanted to change that if they couldn't recruit on these big game weekends. So they're not losing that. But you mentioned, you know, Tech getting a verbal commitment from a big name quarterback. Jeff Collins is going to make it, I guess, what would you say, a little more interesting, but he's still got a long, long, long way to go?
I think Georgia, that's a great point. That's the Tech narrative right now. I think Georgia, when it comes down to it, to bare-knuckle brawls for recruiting, they're going to brawl with Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, of course. Texas is now a big power. Penn State, Ohio State, schools like that. I think Tech's got a real good moment here because Jeff Collins can really recruit. And now that he's going to have some sort of innovative offense where kids can project themselves into Sunday leagues because of what they see at Tech, they're going to play great defense. That's his background. I don't think it's going to affect Georgia, but here's where I think it's going to affect. I think Tech will eventually have a top 20 annual recruiting class now because they can sell that city of Atlanta and they can sell that education. They just got to get a better look, maybe some of their facilities. They got to get a better look, maybe some of their on-field gear and swag, as the kids like to say. But when they do, I think they'll make some strides. And everybody saw the reports recently about how that athletic department with the Paul Johnson buyout is operating at a deficit right now. So they need to get a little bit more booster five-star recruiting the way Georgia does to get something built these days. And I think they're going to have something. And what it really means, Dave, is I think South Carolina, Miami, Florida, Florida State, Auburn, I think schools like that are going to have a harder time pulling that low four-star, mid four-star out of the state of Georgia when perhaps Georgia likes the kid out of Nevada a little bit better at that position or the kid out of Maryland at that position a little bit better. I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be harder for those border states in the state of Georgia, like a Jeremy Pruitt in Tennessee, for example, to come take the nation's number 30 wide receiver because Georgia is already happy with the number 5 and the number 8 receiver in the country. I think that is where Tech's going to make some hay right now going forward with Jeff Collins.
Jeff Sintel from the AJC's DogNation.com. Before we let you go, your latest piece at DogNation.com is about cornerback Dwight McGlethorn out of Texas. Give us a little info on him.
Yeah, man, I've been writing a few words for a little bit of years now, and this is the first time a prospect ever brought up Dora the Explorer with me in an interview, man. And I guess that sounded cool because my daughter is now 11 years old, and we went through that phase with Dora the Explorer. And, you know, his nickname growing up, they called him a fox, and he was kind of like swiper, no swiping. And, you know, Dwight's an interesting story. He's really cool boys with Lewis Seen, who's now on the campus at Georgia out of Texas. He was coached by Deion Sanders. I think the young man probably breaks out in some sort of dance like 150 times a game or a day. I mean, I guess we all should live our lives like that, man. Dave, just maybe break out going to the water cooler, you know, a little shimmy shake or a little.
I'm going
to
do that folks. After this, yes, yes.
Some that hit them folks dance going down the hallway after a great interview or something
That's
like
right.
that. I mean, it's just what it is, man. Interesting guy. Everybody wants to know. Nation's number 8 corner. Everybody wants him. Georgia's in there as well. And neat little thing I learned is that his first cousin is actually Maurice Smith. So there are clear ties there with Georgia, clear ties there with Kirby Smart. And Mo Smith gave him a very rousing recommendation about what it would like to play for Kirby Smart.
Cool stuff. Cool stuff. Well, everybody go read that at dognation.com. That is the most recent story that you guys have up there, and I enjoyed it. Jeff, always a lot of fun. We appreciate you getting us caught up on anything. Someone emailed in and said, ask Jeff, when are we going to get another verbal? How soon is it going to be before Georgia gets another verbal? I always love asking you those questions.
Well, G-Day's coming up, guys. I will say that. G-Day will be big, I think, for Georgia, especially who can get in town and who will be there as well. You'll see Carson Beck there recruiting for Georgia. And it's funny how this is recruiting cycle is going a little bit different, guys. It's not the fast and furious ones of years past. This is going to be measured because Georgia can do so. They can wait on the right guys, and they can try to reel in the right guys.
Great stuff, Jeff. Thank you very much. We'll catch you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks for calling.
All right. Jeff Sintel from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.